Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ecowatersd.com. And where would Big Five Country be, Chris? Would it be like in the desert, in the mountains, in the forest?
North of Liechtenstein.
North of Liechtenstein?
What was the question?
He said, let's go to Big Five Country. I'm just trying to figure out where Big Five Country is.
Oh, okay.
Alberta.
Tony goes back to his iPad.
Yeah, it was another dumb, scrappy question. I don't know why you bothered. Just do what you're doing.
Okay.
You'll be much better off.
Okay. All right. Let's get to number five.
Another dumb, scrappy question.
Not dumb. I mean, you said it.
I said it. You didn't have to ask about it.
Well, I just really wanted to know where you consider Big Five Country. Number five. There was a poll taken around baseball of who will win the Cy Young Award this year. Top three guys in the AL are Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole of the Astros, Charlie Morton of the Rays, while on the NL side we have Hyun-Jin Ryu of the Dodgers, Max Scherzer of the Nationals, and Jacob DeGrom of the Mets. So Tony,
Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, he was one of the top three guys.
No, he's
of
not
what?
One of the top three guys. That's
to win the Cy Young this year.
Okay, the fact that he's one of the top three guys right now with a 7-7 record totally makes this question irrelevant.
Got this off of MLB.com, so.
Totally irrelevant question.
All right.
Go ahead.
They haven't come out with those finalists yet.
No, I know, but these are polls of the writers around, so they're saying these were the top three guys in each league.
Yeah, okay. Jacob DeGrom with 7 wins is far ahead of Steven Strasburg's 15. It's not even close. You're right.
Tony, if the season ended, wow, did I get Chris fired up already.
You did.
If the season ended today, who are your Cy Young Award winners?
Jacob DeGrom for me.
Okay.
Ryu in the National League. Gosh, it pains me. You know, I'm not going to say it. Garrett Cole.
Really?
American League.
You're not going to say it? All right. Chris, who are your Cy Young Award winners?
Can you share with us? Or
I just feel like he tries to pile on people.
Okay.
He's a piler on-er.
Chris?
Well, no, I'm going off the board. I'm going to take Strasburg in the National League. I think their three finalists are stupid.
Think all three of them are stupid?
No. Ryu's got to be one of them. Scherzer hasn't even pitched in a month, so he's sliding off the top three for the moment. I don't see how you can put DeGrom on there. Not this time.
I agree with that. Yes.
Not this time.
Not this time.
I mean, last year he had an ERA of 1.22
out of
or
this
something,
world.
But not this year. Strasburg's got to be way ahead of him. So I'd go Strasburg. American League, I don't care.
Oh, here it is. I finally found the stat. Why DeGrom is a part of it.
Why?
Since the start of last season, DeGrom has made 54 starts.
They're involving last year's statistics?
Yes, this is DeGrom is making, it says MLB at MLB stats from yesterday. Don't look now, but DeGrom is making another rung at the Cy Young. Since the start of last season, DeGrom has made 54 starts. He's allowed 3 runs or fewer in 50 of those 54 starts.
Good for him.
That didn't impress you?
Yeah, it's very impressive, but he's not the Cy Young Award winner this year. He's not even a candidate.
They're using 2018 starts.
I mean, Sandy Koufax had a great year in 1966. I don't see him in the running this year for Cy Young.
Okay. Well, now I know it's time to move to number four.
Number four.
Seattle Mariners utility man Tim Beckham, the number one overall pick in the 2008 amateur draft, has been suspended 80 games after testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug, Major League Baseball announced today. Soon after the suspension was announced, he released a statement claiming
Can I guess what he said?
Yeah. What do you think?
Because I have no idea what he said.
What do you think he said?
I don't know how that got into me. I want to apologize to everybody for my actions, but I don't know how this happened.
Close, but not quite.
Okay.
He said he claimed to take a tainted supplement, but, quote, I was recently notified I had tested positive for stanozolol, prohibited substance under MLB's joint drug agreement. I was given a product from a trusted source who had advised me that it was safe to take. Regrettably, the product was tainted. I exercised my rights and blah, blah, blah. While I'm disappointed in the result, I respect the ruling and understand my responsibilities under the joint drug agreement. I accept full responsibility for putting myself in this position, end quote. So, similar but not quite. He actually took a little bit of responsibility.
What do you mean, similar
for it?
But not quite? It's he exactly took some responsibility. What every single guy who gets busted
You're
says.
Right, but he took a little bit of responsibility in the end. He said, I take responsibility.
They all say that at the very end. They all say that after they give you... First, you give all the excuses. Second of all, you say you don't know how in the world it could have happened. Third of all, you apologize. And then fourth of all, you wear it.
Well, Chris, is it fair to label him a cheater for the rest of his career?
Yes, it is.
Tony?
Is it fair? No, but it's a reality. I mean, you get caught. In our society, they just assume you cheat all the time from that point on. It's not fair, but that is the punishment you get for getting caught in the first place.
Kind of like winning an Academy Award. Whenever they introduce you for the rest of your life, you're Academy Award winner Jack Nicholson. You're kind of now steroid cheater Tim Beckham.
All right.
Sorry.
I mean, listen, I think, first of all...
Do you know him at all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We tainted, like, supplements are, although they happen, are very rare. And what you have to do in this situation is you're supposed to hang on to whatever you were taking so that they can test and see if you actually have a case. Clearly, after the appeals process, now that we're hearing that appeals process was far ran its course.
Yeah.
We know what the deal was.
Well, of course you don't want to keep the, quote, tainted substance for to be tested, because then that's going to just...
Actually, if that is the truth, you do want to keep it.
Yes, because I know, but I don't believe him, so I don't think he's telling the truth.
Right. No, I don't necessarily believe it in this one either.
Okay.
Number three.
Well, one guy the Padres will not see on this trip up to Seattle. Representatives for running back Ezekiel Elliott have told the Dallas Cowboys he will not play during the 2019 season. Without a new contract, a source close to the situation told ESPN's Josina Anderson. I believe that Tony Gwynn Jr. said that the other day.
No, I was laughing because you said one player the Padres won't be seeing, and you said Ezekiel.
I did.
So I was like, where's Ezekiel?
I know. You know, Seattle? When I was saying it, I was
like... Have you seen the lineup yet tonight?
No, but when I was saying it, I was like,
this
is going to be
Ezekiel
confusing.
Let me tell you something. Ezekiel Elliott's probably better than half the guys the Mariners have in there.
Well, the source added at this time is not likely Elliott's holdout continues into the regular season, but here is Jerry Jones talking about the contract negotiations.
Just know that, like so many things, it'll happen. It'll happen. There literally is no concern on my part at all about any time frame. That'll happen. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. Think about it a minute. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. That always happens when it's good, that good for both of them.
All right, well, Jerry Jones says he's going to be there. So, Tony, who is in the wrong for Zeke not being in camp right now? The team or him?
First of all, what in the world is Jerry talking about? If it's good for the Cowboys, what did he say? Can we run that back? That last little part?
He said if it's good for the Cowboys and good for him, it always gets resolved, except unless your name is Le'Veon Bell.
Think about it a minute. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. That always happens when it's good, that good for both of them.
Okay, so he's saying that it's all going to be good, so it'll get done.
The results are good for him and good for the Cowboys. That's how it always works.
Right, he's going to make a lot of money, and we're going to have a great player, so this always will resolve itself. Don't worry about it.
Listen, these running backs have been emboldened.
Yes, they have. By Le'Veon Bell. It's changed everything, I believe.
So they're going to be willing to sit some games. If not a whole season, now that they've seen it done once.
Now that they've seen it done, and Le'Veon Bell has did not lose a penny, really.
No.
I mean, the Jets gave him more money than he ever could have gotten, right? Had he signed with the Steelers last year.
He gave up a year of his contract, but he also maintained a year of his body.
That's right. And in this day and age, the load management is more important almost than your salary.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's talking about how great Le'Veon Bell's going to be this year simply because
he's fresh.
Didn't get to play last year.
Yeah. I don't see this unless they got three guys to pay. And I don't see how they can pay all three. Cooper,
Prescott,
and Zeke. And Zeke is going. He probably wants the most.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't gonna get more than the quarterback, but he wants a significant portion. So,
well, he needs the most because he's got to pay off all of these security guards that he topples over accidentally. He's got to have a little extra money coming in on the side.
That security guy was a little bit of a sucker.
Oh, I know.
He like collapsed.
Of course, it was the funniest. It was one of the funniest videos we saw.
I need the money from you. It's emotional distress, Chris.
Yes, I agree with Tony. Nobody's at fault necessarily.
Right.
I think, you know, the Cowboys are at fault because they're trying to get away with not paying him what he should get paid. So if you're going to ask me who's at fault, I'm going to blame it more on the Cowboys than I am the player. I normally do blame the team more than the player. Unless the player's asking for something outlandish, and I don't believe that Ezekiel Elliott, who's one of the best running backs in football, if not the best, is asking for anything outlandish. I think he's asking for the going rate, and then some, because he's one of the best guys.
Not to mention, football owners are filthy rich.
Yes, they are.
Filthy rich.
Especially Jerry Jones.
I don't want Jerry Jones to keep any money. Please do not tell me that you can't quite afford Ezekiel Elliott.
If it's good for the Cowboys, it's good for the player.
The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys.
What?
That always happens when it's good, that good for both of them.
You ever have that one friend that's around you that thinks they're just dropping some serious bars on you right there? And you're like, you walk away like, what was he talking about?
That's Jerry Jones.
That's Jerry right there.
Can you imagine if you made enough money in your life, though, that you could absorb this? Ezekiel Elliott continues to be subject to a fine of $40,000 per day.
Oh, seriously?
Right now.
That's crazy.
And if he doesn't play in the preseason opener against the Niners, he will be fined a regular season game check of $226,000. You and I were talking about our wives making us park in a certain parking spot. What do you suppose Ezekiel Elliott's wife is saying to him about the fact that
he's losing $250,000 a game?
Yes! $226,000, Ezekiel. That's like one purse I could buy somewhere in La Jolla.
Thankfully, I mean, based on what I've seen from Zeke, he doesn't have a significant other. He's out there just living his best life.
Fair enough.
Solo.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But if you're Jared Jones, whatever I say goes. We don't have time for the rest.
Why not?
So, well, because it's...
Our answers were too long.
They were good answers, though. On 97.3 The Fan. At one point, I do want to get to one of the questions later in the show. The Big Five was brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ecowatersd.com.
What's so funny, sir?
You were trying to take over.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking some NFL football, talking some college football, just plain old talking some football.
Yes, indeed.
Former Aztec, great linebacker from the dark side, Mr. Kirk Morrison joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Kirk, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, fellas. What's going on?
Well, you know, baseball season's kind of dwindling on us a little bit here in San Diego, so...
Oh, man, that Machado magic went away already?
I don't want to say it's gone away already. It's just kind of taking a vacation right now.
It's just it's not enough of his magic.
It's not enough right now, so...
It was an Airbnb. You get in for a little bit and you come back.
Well, hopefully it'll be back in time for next season anyway, but I don't know. Right. Anyway, we're excited about football. Everybody's excited about football right. around here, and I know you got a big season lined up and coming off a Super Bowl season in which you were hosting a pre- and post-game show for the Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams. Tell me a little bit about this season for the Rams. We've seen some Super Bowl teams lose and then kind of struggle to get back to that point the right. following season. What are the Rams doing to safeguard against that?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Chris. It's always tough to get back to a Super Bowl. It really is. And when you think about some of the teams that, you know, the year after they make the game, they usually – you know, end up, you know, struggling the following season or just never really look like the season in which got them to the Super Bowl, unless you're the Patriots. That kind of being said, you think about, you know, what happened in that Super Bowl this past one against the Patriots. The Rams only scored 3 points. You know, the Patriots won the football game, and I think that's really been the rallying cry, you know, between players and coaches, is that we weren't good when our best was needed, which was the Super Bowl. And scoring 3 points in that high-powered offense of the Rams, that's kind of what I think this year is really all about, is that they felt that they weren't versatile enough. They felt like they, you know, schematically could have done more, and that's what they've done so far, I think, this preseason. They went out and drafted a running back in the third round. And then on top of that, they, you know, got a couple of guys healthy as well. So I just look to see a different team than what we saw last year in the Super Bowl.
Kirk, you mentioned how the Patriots had success in really shutting down that high-octane offense that the Rams had. And one of the reasons, I think, on the outside looking in, they didn't have Todd Gurley to their disposal, really, in that game. Or at least he wasn't used. Now, we've pretty much followed this from the end of last season up until this season. Is Todd Gurley extra motivated this year? Because all he's heard since the Super Bowl was that his knee was damaged, he was damaged goods. How are the Rams going to be able to somehow bring his workload down? I would say that a guy like Todd Gurley would come in pretty motivated based on hearing all this noise all offseason.
Yeah, I think, Thomas, it's huge that for Todd that they went out and drafted a running back in the third round, because it really can give Todd a break. You know, I think that, you know, the big word that we saw in the NBA this past season was load management.
Yes.
For Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, people are like, well, how could you do load management and for what? And all of a sudden he's hoisting a Larry O'Brien trophy. And everybody's like, wow, okay, load management works. And I think it'll be similar here with the Rams and Todd Gurley. I don't necessarily think Todd Gurley was ineffective last year toward the end of the year. He still rushed for over 115 yards against the Cowboys. He had 2 scores, you know what I mean? So yeah, he was playing at a high level. I just thought that in the NFC Championship game, he lost a lot of confidence when he dropped a pass, got intercepted, and then he dropped another pass a little bit later. Mm. And just the way that the scheme and flow, the way the offense kind of was in those last 2 games, you know, teams really took him away, and they wanted Jared Goff to beat them. And I don't think people are noting that enough, is that Todd Gurley was their best player. And if I'm a defense, I'm trying to stop Todd Gurley. And that's right. What the Patriots did, and that's what pretty much the Saints really did. And they're just like, look, we don't care if Jared Goff throws for 5,000 yards. We just don't want somebody to run up and down our throat. And I think that's the motivation for Todd, to try to prove people wrong, which is kind of what he's been doing his first 4 years in the NFL already.
I wouldn't give up on Todd Gurley quite yet. As long as I draft him, I'm not giving up on him. Tony drafts him, then I'm giving up on him. Kirk Morrison is with us on the SDCC Fan Hotline, one of our all-time favorites, he is an Aztec.
For life,
yes. Mm-hmm. And Sean McVay has been so successful. The good news is that he's been successful. The bad news is, they're taking all of his assistant coaches away from him because every team around the NFL wants the next Sean McVay. How's the Rams' coaching tree look this year now, and what changes might be made?
Well, I think for the most part, they kept the defensive coaches together. Wade Phillips is still there. Joe Barry, the assistant, you know, head coach, linebackers coach. Aubrey Pleasant, who's a young coach in the head coach, I think, in the waiting. At some point, he's still there in the secondary. So defensively, you still have that same continuity. But you mentioned that Zach Taylor takes over as the head coach over in Cincinnati. know, two seasons ago, it was Matt LaFleur who was the acting offensive coordinator. He knows in Green Bay. But I think the one thing about Sean McVay is he's always been one to – he wants his coaches to take bigger jobs. You know, it's a bigger pool of guys in which he's worked under, and that's the reason why, you know, that's how he got his opportunity. You know, coaching under John Gruden and then eventually going to work with Jay Gruden, his brother, and then elevating himself into a head coaching position. So the coaching staff in general for Sean is guys who we trust, guys who we know. And trust me, not everybody is calling Sean McVay to see if they can get on his staff, because once you get on McVay's staff, it just automatically become a nice shiny object for the NFL. A lot of other teams want what Sean McVay is cooking down here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no question. Sean McVay has been able to start his own tree, so to speak, right? He's got different coaches going everywhere. Kirk, let's switch gears to your hometown team, the Oakland Raiders. As of right now, still the Oakland Raiders. Antonio Brown shows up in an air balloon, makes a grand entrance, and then soon after has to see a foot specialist. What's going on with this foot injury? Is it of concern for the Raiders?
Well, I was down there last week, and it didn't seem much of a concern. And then, obviously, Antonio, you know, put the photo out there of what his feet looked like, because I think there was so much criticism on why he's not practicing and why aren't the Raiders releasing the information of why he's not practicing. So I thought it was a lot to it. But at the end of the day, I am a little bit, I guess, cautious about what's going on, because I've actually seen that type of thing where the bottom of the feet, the skin is kind of falling off, and you have to wait for it all to fall off. So he has to get on a strong steroid or antibiotic something to get whatever is infected or just the damaged, you know, skin tissues to fall off and regrow some skin. So that could be a process that could be 3 to 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. So right now it's not an issue of, you know, is he not playing this season? No, he'll play this season. It's really just about how fast his skin starts to come back and he feels comfortable enough to go out there and run some routes. So it's actually, I've actually seen that actually before.
You know what's crazy is honestly, up until now, I saw that photo. I assumed it was a fake photo. That's a real photo of the skin falling off his feet, huh?
Oh, that's real. Oh, yeah, that's all the way real.
I thought for sure that was a parody photo for some reason. I don't know why.
No. That's a real photo. That's why he's going to get it, see a foot specialist. That's the reason why. I know, because, you know, honestly, my dad had a situation like that with him, and that's how I remember. You know, he had to get injected with a steroid, I think, because he actually, it was a bad reaction to a medicine that he took. And it kind of, you know, it's the infection is trying to get out of the body in some way. And for him, it came through his foot. So I was like, whoa. So that's the first thing I thought about with Antonio Brown. And for him not to have practice, for him to leave, you know, training camp to go see a specialist, it is a little more serious than I think people may be in question to think. But for the most part, it's not going to keep him out, you know, for the season. It's just about how quickly they can handle this situation and move on from it.
You guys are getting me a little queasy now. From now on, I promise I'm not having lunch before we interview Kirk Morrison. Talking about all this crazy stuff. Hey, Kirk, speaking of the Raiders, Hard Knocks, did you get a chance? You never got a chance to be part of Hard Knocks. Would that have been something that you would have enjoyed, having all those cameras, all that attention? I know it debuts tonight on HBO, but seems like it's a lot of fun for most players. Is that something that you would have kind of wanted to participate in?
You know, I definitely, especially with the Raiders, because I think it's for the first time, I think people get to see a unique look into the Raiders organization, but also, too, I think one of the most outstanding places to ever have a training camp. You know, I've had training camp in Buffalo, where we're with the St. John's Fisher College.
All that
the
way was out fun.
Yeah, that was not. I know you were Chris, but man, that was different. And then while I was in Jacksonville, we stayed at a hotel, and you know, we had, you know, training camp at the facility, which was still was a little bit weird, a little bit different. But the Oakland Raiders training camp at the Napa Valley Marriott is just one of the best settings to have a training camp. And I really think that it will be highlighted in this Hard Knocks. It's not as much of a distraction. I was out there for the opening weekend, and you can't even tell the cameras are out there. Just a regular practice is going on. It just so happens that everybody's mic'd up. And after a while, I think in the beginning, guys are, you know, kind of show themselves a little bit, but now I think it's just like they forget all about the cameras. But I'm telling you, number 24, Jonathan Abram, man, he's a rookie out of Mississippi State. Yeah. I think he is going to be a star in terms of Hard Knocks, man. The dude is just, some guys just, you talk to him for 5 minutes and you're like, that guy's different in a good way. That guy is different. So I think that he's probably going to steal the show at some point on this Hard Knocks. But I would have loved to have done it, though, seriously, because these are memories, and look, people always remember,
yeah,
you know, these episodes of Hard Knocks. I mean, they don't go away. They go into the archives. So it would have been fun to have been able to be a participant in one of those.
Kirk, real quick before we let you get out of, do you have you know where you're going to be for your first college games this year?
Yeah, first game of the season. I get a chance to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to see the number 6 Louisiana State University Tigers, LSU, versus Georgia Southern. So I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm excited.
That's awesome.
That's a good matchup. That game on the odds board is probably about even, isn't it?
It's a little more weighing heavily on the LSU side. But you know what? In week one, man, you never know what can happen.
No, and it's fun. It would be so fun to go down there, man. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It's a great place. I've been down there a couple times already, so they treat me well down there in Baton Rouge. So I look forward to get down there and watching some Tiger football and Coach Ogeron.
Sweet. Have you had a chance to talk to Rocky at all about what he's got with the Aztecs? Just a quick note on the red and black?
No, not yet. I keep my, I definitely keep my eyes open. I'm always... Okay. You know, just reading, just seeing what's going on. I'll make a trip down there in the next week or two just to see where this team is at as they get ready for Weber State. And obviously, I think the storylines are there. You had a new starting quarterback, Juwan Washington, in his senior year, and one of the most outstanding linebackers in all of the country, I think, in Kiava Tuzino. So that's the Aztecs in a nutshell, is just how can they put it together in a conference right now that's definitely with Boise and Fresno kind of leading the charge. Where do the Aztecs fall?
Well, one of my all-time favorite things about Kirk Morrison was the fact that when he was at college at San Diego State, he made every tackle.
Yeah, he did.
And then they did all the ratings for the draft, and they said, well, he runs this fast and he jumps this high. And I said, I don't care. He makes every tackle.
It's around the football.
And the Raiders were smart enough to realize that, and they brought him in. And then when you first got to the Raiders, it wasn't like a lot of big hullabaloo around Kirk, except for the fact that pretty soon he was starting and making every tackle again.
He only went out and was tackling everybody there, too.
I bring it up because this is what I think of when I look at this Tuzino kid play, Kirk. I mean, he really reminds me of you, and I hope that I hope he can have the same kind of success. Hey, anyway, thanks for the time as always, Kirk. Have a great season. We'll catch up with you soon. Good luck, buddy.
See you, Kirk.
Hey, appreciate it, guys, always. Talk to you soon.
Kirk Morrison there on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDC.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, top five teams that we'd like to see on Hard Knocks of all time. Of all time! I like the Raiders pretty close to your number one of current times. Like,
yes.
Right now, this is like you're very excited about tonight's debut.
Absolutely.
I can't think of another team right now that I'd rather see other than the Patriots. And I know that that's playing right into Odd Thomas's hands, but it would be fun to follow Belichick around for a few weeks. All right, here we go. I'll go.
Okay.
Number five.
72 Dolphins.
Of course. They got to be on there.
First of all, I was like a little kid, so I would have eaten up everything with a spoon. Secondly, it would have been fun to see how the only undefeated team in the history of football operated during the preseason.
I can get with that.
It's a little bit of a homer pick, but I needed five, and my other four I think are really strong. So that's why I put them fifth.
Number five for me, the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. You can really go any of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been must-see TV, as many characters as they had on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Yeah. I was giving him room to expand on that. I didn't know if he wanted to expand on that.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Number four.
I'll expand on it because the number four team for me is the 1990s Dallas Cowboys. I don't think I would have wanted my Hard Knocks cameras, though, at the practice facility. Woo! I would have liked them all to have been located at the White House.
Mm.
Not that White House, the Dallas Cowboys White
House.
Oh,
yeah. I know where you're going with that.
You know how interesting that show would have been. A, B, they would have had to put it on well after 1 in the morning.
Yeah, it would have had to be pay-per-view.
Because I can only...
pay-per-view.
I can't even imagine some of the stuff that must have gone on with those guys in that place at that time.
Yeah, along those same lines, my number four team is the New York Giants. What was it, 80... What year did they have LT?
They won their...
89, 90?
No, they won their world, their first world title in 86. They also beat the Bills in 90.
86.
But I think you're thinking of the first...
I'm thinking of the first group. Yeah, 86, when you had the young LT running around, being crazy. I mean, listen, if we're talking Hard Knocks, we got to have some drama involved. And the only reason why New England would fit in this is because... They just seem to do things right all the time in practice, and I would just be interested in seeing it. And I'll get to that later, but New York Giants definitely had some drama on that squad.
And some characters.
Number three.
No team in NFL history has had more characters than the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Mm.
I think they've had the most. Just like on one team, one year... I mean, the fridge is the one that everybody remembers for whatever reason, but I'll be honest with you, when the 85 Bears were around, the fridge was just one of many storylines. I mean, Jim McMahon, just right on down the road. That would have been, they would have had to bleep out the whole show. Ditka coaching, that would have been just a madhouse television. In fact, you don't need to see the Hard Knocks to watch that because they have so many... 30 shorts and movies and things about the 85 Bears, and they're all very interesting and fun to watch.
Yep, number three for me was also the Bears.
Oh, okay.
85 Bears. See, a kid like me only remembers Walter Payton and Refrigerator Perry.
Yeah.
Don't remember a lot else, but I know from hearing from my dad that they had a lot of characters on there.
Oh, they were funny. They were fun. I mean, the Super Bowl shuffle was all you needed to know what kind of team they had.
Right.
Man, what a group. They only lost one game that year. Anybody know to who? Never mind. Thank you. Okay. What are we on?
Two.
I don't know what number until I hear Thomas play.
Is it three?
Number three.
No, that was number three.
Number two.
Very good.
Let's go, producer.
My number two team of all time that I'd like to see on Hard Knocks is the 1967... Green Bay Packers. There's really only one reason for it. Lombardi.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. To have a camera following around Vince Lombardi during training camp, that would be priceless stuff. And, frankly, that is not something that exists anywhere. Right? I mean, you hear little clips from Lombardi here and there, and you see some highlights of the...
On the sideline,
ice bowl,
yeah.
And he yells at a guy... But, I mean, give me a Hard Knocks Vince Lombardi. That'd be something I'd have to watch pretty carefully. So the Lombardi Packers would be number two for me.
Number two for me would be the New England Patriots of 2007. They acquire Randy Moss. Everybody thinks it's a joke. And it turned out to be nothing but wins. Until the end, of course. But.
You can still have the 72 Dolphins if you want an undefeated team.
I could.
I'll loan them to you.
I could. I don't need an undefeated team. I just need to see Bill Belichick and Randy Moss and Tom Brady all on the same show. Because I have a feeling it's nothing like we assumed it would be.
I think also it'd be a great study in how to get along with different kinds of people.
Right?
Because that's what Belichick can do as well as anybody.
100%.
Right? I mean,
Junior was on that team, too.
That's right. Junior Seau was on that team. You had a bunch of, like, different characters, like, completely different.
Can you imagine Belichick going into a meeting with Tom Brady and getting through that and then going, all right, now I'm going to go meet with Randy Moss. You kind of got to change your way of thinking a little bit. That would have been interesting. Okay.
Number one.
All right, my number one has to be the team that had the most criminals on it in the history of the National Football League.
It's the Raiders.
Who else?
The Raiders!
And not these Raiders, but the mid-70s, 76, John Madden-led Oakland Raiders. I'll just put it this way. I've had Phil Villapiano, who was a great linebacker on that team, on radio shows many times in the past. And I'll be honest with you, he is such a nice guy and a funny guy, but the greatest interview I've ever done for Sports Talk Radio was talking to Phil Villapiano about those teams before we went on the air. Because he could tell me everything, and it was pretty much incredible, the kind of things that went on there. They had a guy on their team named Skip Thomas. His nickname was Dr. Death. He was a cornerback. And one time, one of the players, Charles Filyaw, got injured. And he went over to one of his teammates, and he said, God, my back's hurting. And somebody said, well, go see Skip. He said, Skip Thomas? He goes, yeah, the doctor. Charles Filyaw thought Dr. Death was truly a doctor. That was a team, let me tell you.
Clearly.
Madden had some funny stories on them if you've ever read some of his old books, but he couldn't tell you all of the crazy details that went on. And that team also made a Super Bowl in New Orleans. Can you only imagine some of those Raiders on Bourbon Street the week before the Super Bowl? I can't.
All right, my number one team is the Seattle Seahawks Legion of Boom.
Oh.
And based on what we know now, it would have made for great TV on Hard Knocks. Because those practices would have been real. Like, there would have been, like, no... You'd have had Richard Sherman talking crazy to Russell Wilson. Him thinking it's all good. Richard Sherman being dead serious about everything he's saying. I just think it would be great TV to see that offense go up against that defense in a Hard knock style way. Because you would have got all kinds of little sound bites from that Hard Knocks.
Well, you had Marshawn.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about Marshawn.
You got Pete Carroll.
Browner, Earl Thomas.
There's so many characters Chancellor. On this team.
Michael Bennett. That's a good one. Even though I hate that team and I hate all those guys.
They weren't boring. They would have been entertaining.
You're right. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Hard Knocks would have been out before they beat the 49ers in the playoffs, so you'd have been okay, Scraby.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.